My name is Ashley Ortega, class of 2022, and this is my podcast, Hooked on Cola. It is here that we explore the College of Liberal Arts and the majors the university has to offer. You'll hear from professors, department chairs, and current students who are sharing their personal experiences here at the 40 Acres. Longhorn Band, play me out. Thank you, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Hooked on Cola. Today's episode, I am sitting down to talk about international relations and global studies. So, guys, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm Dr. Michael Anderson. I'm the director of IRG, and I am an associate professor of instruction in the government department.
Hey there, my name is Josiane Alwardi. I'm a senior. I'm an IRG major, I've loved IRG for the last 4 years, and I'm just about to graduate.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, guys. So, we're going to just kind of get started off with basics, and I guess, Michael, we're going to address the first question to you. What is IRGS?
Well, yes, the acronym IRG, it stands both for international relations and global studies. And I think it's probably useful to differentiate those or kind of talk about what each one is. I often tell students in the opening day of intro to IRG to really think about this question. Certainly, international relations is more of a longstanding field of study, usually within political science. And it focuses on questions around security and development. And the international part means it's generally focused on state-to-state relations. The global studies portion part of the major, as I see it, is more transnational rather than international, in as much as we look at themes that don't just deal with state-to-state interactions, but issues around culture and people and disease. These are things that cross borders and don't always respect state-to-state interactions. So what we do in IRG is to look at both the more official state-to-state interactions, but also look at some of these transnational global phenomena.
Fantastic. And Josiane, that was a very broad topic. And it'd probably be my understanding that everybody kind of goes into this interdisciplinary major and does something a little different with it. So would you like to talk about your experience here?
Yeah, for sure. So the way that IRG is set up is that you have different tracks that you can go through and different regions that you can specify your focus in your 4 years as an undergraduate. I chose international security and the Middle East, which I think is a very harmonious combination. You know, there's a lot of people in there who are interested in what's going on in the Middle East. It's extremely topical now more than ever to know what's going on in the Middle East. But there are other pathways, of course. Some of my best friends are doing the cultural studies aspect of IRG, and they learn a lot about different cultures, those transnational topics that Dr. Anderson mentioned. And like you said, IRG looks different for every single person that goes through. You take different classes, you take different tracks, different areas of focus, different languages, different study abroad opportunities. And everyone has their own niche interest within the tracks, which is really, really cool.
Absolutely. And I think that's sort of the beauty of it. Maybe it would be beneficial if we went ahead and talked about the basic bare bones structure of the major and then getting into the different tracks and talking about the extra foreign language requirements.
Sure. IRG is a big major. I believe we have 51 hours in the major, which I believe is the largest of any in COLA. So when you're signing up for IRG, you're signing up for a fair bit of coursework. But what you get within that is a lot of opportunity to have flexibility within the major, as Josiane was mentioning. And because while there is a small set of distinct IRG classes. There's an intro course, a foundations course, and then either a capstone research seminar or an honors thesis program. Beyond that, you're really going and exploring different departments and different, whether it's government or history, sociology, geography. We have a number of core departmental partners. And then, of course, we have the requirement that students focus on one of four subject tracks. So Josiane alluded to the fact that she's an international security track-focused person, and we also have international political economy. We have culture, media, and the arts, and science, technology, and the environment. Those are the four tracks. And then we also have wonderful area studies here at UT. You know, one of the great things about UT is that we have strengths in really almost all parts of the world. And so we want to make sure that students who are focused on international or global issues not only have a subject focus that they can come away with, but also a regional focus that they can discuss and to know that they are specialists in. So we ask the students take 9 hours in one of six regional areas of the world, non-North American parts of the world. And then, as you mentioned, we ask students take 6 hours of upper division language above and beyond the university requirement. And we ask students to take part in a study abroad program of at least 4 weeks. Some students do internships, but the vast majority do more traditional study abroad. And then we require students to do a research project to really tie up a lot of their interests in a very broad interdisciplinary major where students have the opportunity to go in different directions. We feel that it's important for students to be able to bring it all back and to synthesize a lot of what they've done. And also just come away with a piece of work that they're proud of, that is their own, and they can go out and they can talk to graduate schools or potential employers and to say, no, I've done an in-depth study on a particular topic. And that's just a great jumping off point where they can really show off all of the different ways in which you can, quote unquote, do IRG.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I was coming here and I was doing my prospective student campus tour, one of the students that was in our group was asking questions about study abroad, because I think that's something that a lot of college students want to end up doing. And I remember the tour guide actually kind of dropped IRG and they were like, well, you know, if you go into IRG, then you have to do a study abroad. So that's a good way to like nudge parents into that. Like, oh, well, you know, mom, dad, I have to do this.
Yeah, I often joke about that in classes. And it's interesting to me. I mean, I think that UT in the early days of the program may have thought that some of these extra requirements might have been an impediment to the success of the major. I actually think that the opposite has been the case. All of these extra things that you have to do are things that students want to do, and they're looking for that justification to say, oh, really? I get to take extra foreign language. I get to study abroad. These are the things that are drawing students. So I don't know, maybe Josiane can speak to this about to what extent are they an impediment, an obstacle, or really an opportunity?
Okay, so it's so funny that you guys mentioned the study abroad as the tipping point, honestly, for some people choosing IRG, because that's exactly what it was for me. Because I remember really meticulously trying to decide between IRG and government, because I was interested in both. And in my understanding of it, like Dr. Anderson said, there's only a couple of core IRG classes and everything else you just fill up on your own to fill in the requirements. And I was like, well, I'm going to be taking government classes anyways. I could just do a government major, because my understanding of IRG was that it was a fairly new major and that the government program at UT was this program that I knew people who went into already and found to be very wonderful for them. So when I was deciding between IRG and government, it was those extra requirements of IRG that really convinced me. Because going into college, and I was like, I'm very interested in security, in international relations. I'm very interested in furthering my Arabic skills. And most importantly, I really want to study abroad. And knowing that IRG gave me that pathway to ensure that I was going to do those things that I made as goals for myself as a high schooler, IRG was like a no-brainer. I'm so happy I did IRG and no regrets. Best major ever. yeah.
Well, I also want to make clear that we see IRG as one of the ways students can connect a lot of different programs, right? So we love the fact that we partner with so many departments, and especially government. There are a lot of double majors, and I would encourage students who are thinking about either IRG or any other interdisciplinary major to think about finding not only that interdisciplinary program that suits their needs, but also pairing it up with a disciplinary home, whether you're formally double majoring or not, to just recognize that you get a lot from that disciplinary training and disciplinary thinking, while also you can gain a lot from the breadth of an interdisciplinary program. So I would just say it isn't necessarily an either or. And because so many of our courses are connected with other departments, we find that it's actually easier to double major or triple major in some cases. So our students will really appreciate that flexibility too.
Yeah, and this kind of comes out to a very well-rounded student, I would say. I think UT does a really good job of that, of producing high-caliber graduates. One thing I found for me, at least, was it was really easy for me to double major. I wasn't necessarily an IRG student, but Human Dimensions of Organization is a newer program, and they're very interdisciplinary. And so it paired really well with my other interests, and it allowed me to go into a double major with American Studies. But it's my understanding that IRG is relatively new as far as a discipline would consider.
Yes, I still think of it as fairly new, but then again, I also think of myself as fairly young, and I know that's probably more and more out of date. But yes, IRG has been in existence for 15 years now. I was lucky enough to be asked to teach the first course in IRG in the spring of 2010, Intro to IRG. I think it was a class of 25 students or so. And to be frank, I hardly knew what I was doing at the time. I just gotten my PhD. My background is in history, in international history, diplomatic history in the Asia Pacific region. And I had recently completed my graduate work on kind of Asia Pacific unofficial diplomacy in the 20th century, trying to ask some big questions about how the West was going to get along with the so-called rest of the world. I suppose that's what brought me to the attention of the dean's office. And they were in need of someone to teach this new course, Intro to IRG, and I was available. I thought it was just going to be a one-off course. And then here I am 15 years later. I think that what was really exciting in those first few semesters and years was just to witness this rapid rise of this interdisciplinary major beyond the expectations of not just me, but I believe some higher ups at UT who may have thought that Texas students were not so interested in learning foreign languages and studying abroad. I mean, I can only imagine, but lo and behold, guess what? They were. And so it was really exciting to just showcase just how hungry UT students were for a global perspective. I was told that IRG was the fastest growing major in the history of the College of Liberal Arts to that time anyway. And I'm very proud of the fact, too, since that time, that we're no longer the new kid on the block, that other interdisciplinary majors, you mentioned one, HDO, followed us, sustainability studies, health and society, have been growing up since that time, using this model. And I think it's a testament to our success that there are these other interdisciplinary programs that have come about in our wake.
Absolutely. And when we were talking about bare bones, basic structure of the program, we were kind of told that it was either an honors thesis or a capstone project. Josiane, which one did you choose to do?
So I'm in the honors thesis program. Dr. Anderson's my primary reader. for my thesis. The reason I made this decision is because I'm also a Plan 2 major, so I had to either write two separate things for two separate majors or do an IRG honors thesis, which allowed me to cover my bases for both of my majors. But regardless, I'm extremely happy with the process that I've been in for the last two semesters. I have a lot of friends doing the capstone, though, and I think the capstone is best described as a mini version of a thesis. It's, I think, a little bit less work, maybe, Dr. Anderson.
Or maybe the thesis is just an extra large capstone.
Oh, maybe that. do you want me to talk about what my thesis is on?
Yeah, if you feel comfortable doing so.
Oh, I love my thesis topic. It's the coolest topic ever. It's tracking the Syrian president, Hafez al-Assad, who was president before Bashar al-Assad, the current president of Syria, and specifically tracking his regional policies and the way that he and his desire for Syria to gain this hegemonic power shaped his interaction with other countries in the Middle East. And specifically doing that through his goal of retrieving the Golan Heights back into Syria's fold, which was occupied by Israel in 1967. And so it's such a cool topic. I'm breaking it down into multiple different overviews of different areas, different subjects. So like the Lebanese civil war is one subject, the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait is a different subject. And I'm just talking about how Syria just kind of needles in and tries to help, but really does it with ulterior motives to further their goals and getting back the Golan Heights. So it's really cool. But everyone in the class has completely different theses, which is so cool. There's someone who's writing something on fast fashion, someone writing something on avocado farming, someone talking about Chinese art as a medium for politics. Someone's talking about French influence on like small islands in the Caribbean. And I, to be honest with you, went into this class thinking that most of the thesis ideas were going to be government related, strict IS topics like mine was. And I think mine is kind of like the odd guy out because everyone else has these really niche, cool subjects that I'm so excited to learn more about in our poster presentations and our PowerPoint presentations. So it's like a cozy little class of like 10, 15 people. And everyone's just really stoked to hear about each other's progress.
Yeah, those all sound incredibly fascinating. I would love to get a final copy on basically everyone's project.
Me too.
Please.
Yes. Well, one of the features of the honors program, it does give students the chance to branch out a bit, to kind of really can take on a project that lasts over a full year rather than a single semester. So the capstone research project, which most students take on, is a 20, 25-page research paper. So, I mean, it's a substantial piece of independent research. So all IRG students come away with a substantial independent project of their own. The honors thesis program just gives students that a little bit extra time. And the expectation is that you're going to write a 50 plus page thesis. And as Josiane says, we really encourage a wide array of topics and approaches, methodologies to really showcase the diversity we have within IRG. You know, those students taking on some of the more traditional international relations kinds of projects, state-to-state relations, as well as the global studies projects, right, that deal with culture and art or environmental or health topics. I'm proud of how the students help each other out and provide a strong student community. And we've had a lot of student leaders come through, and just on their own, they've seized the initiative to create different student orgs to discuss international affairs, to connect students with one another, to help mentor one another through, to let them know, you know, which are the best classes to take, what are the great internship and volunteer opportunities to go on, where not to study abroad, you know, all kinds of things that you only learn from fellow students. And so as a faculty, we really rely on those student groups, and we feel like that we're to help support the students through their journey through IRG, because it is one of those majors in which, you know, once you declare the major, that's not the last thing you do, that it's only the beginning. You know, so many questions still are there. You know, what part of the world do I want to focus on? Which track do I want to really delve into? Which language do I want to focus on? Where do I want to study abroad? And then ultimately, what's going to be my final project? It's a lot of ideas. You know, these are a lot of questions you have to answer. So I mean, I tell students, this is not a major for everyone.
Absolutely. And I think that's sort of where the University of Texas stands out. When you think about college, you think about established majors, and the university is doing, I would say, just a remarkable job of creating these younger interdisciplinary majors that just sort of take on a life of their own. And I think it's so attractive to students. It was very attractive to me that I could take a major and make it my own and tailor that kind of to my individual interests.
Yeah, I mean, my sense is that the popularity of these majors is often tied to a student interest in trying to connect the subject that they're interested in with a post-college life. We think that a liberal arts graduate should be able to look at the world around them and hopefully with the tools they've developed over their college career, be better citizens, well-rounded individuals, and of course to be more competitive on the job market as well, right? Josiane, do you have comments on whether IRG feels like it's tracking you into a particular kind of life or whether you still feel a lot of openness about the future?
I see both perspectives, which makes me feel like IRG offers you some options on what you can do, but then also provides you the tools to just do whatever it is that you want. And you guys mentioned some student organizations earlier. It's the IRG Council and the International Affairs Society. They're two really entrenched organizations with the IRG major. And I think these two organizations, specifically IAS, which I was a part of for the better part of last year, I think, it provides so many opportunities for students to really get to know what they could do with their major. They would bring in diplomats and professors and lawyers and these guest speakers that can just talk about what they do with international relations, if they do anything with it today, how their studies affected their current career outcomes, all these interesting questions that students like myself have. But I would say that I'm a little bit less traditional when it comes to the IRG student body specifically because as of right now, I have no interest in going into the Foreign Service or anything that you would traditionally associate with an IRG major. I'm planning on going into law school. I'll be attending law school starting in the fall. And as of right now, I'm very strictly on litigation, so trial law, going into a courtroom in front of a jury, using the rules of evidence, things like that. And I'm also open to working in international law, international arbitration, international litigation, which is questions of bridging together different legal bodies, but also different cultures, different ways of practicing the law. I have friends who have gone into the Peace Corps and are going into the Peace Corps. I know people going into the military after their IRG major. I know people who are very interested in working in academia. So they're studying like linguistics and things like that. But IRG is very open. You make it what you want it to be. So it's really awesome.
Yeah. And having a global perspective is useful even if you never leave Texas, right?
Absolutely.
It only takes a pandemic to remind us of just how interconnected we are as a world. And it is just helpful to have that global perspective, you know, whether or not you want to be a part of the UN or be a part of a kind of governmental organization, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know that we've touched on it briefly, but Michael, would you like to talk about the different partnerships that you have with IRG and other schools here at the university or programs?
Yeah, so I often talk about IRG as like a connective tissue. I think that's the metaphor I most often fall back on because I feel that while we have a small core group of faculty who are wonderful, we can't do what we do without strong partnerships. So there is the Clements Center for National Security, the Strauss Center for International Law and Security. We have a Rappaport Center for Human Rights and Justice. There is the Innovations in Peace and Development research program. There's a global disinformation lab that has been started. We've recently launched a partnership with the LBJ School of Public Affairs. They obviously have, that is the policy school here at UT, but it's graduate only. I often try to bring in LBJ students as teaching assistants into the intro to IRG to just familiarize our undergrads the fact that there is a global policy studies master's program here at the university, and the students can specialize in different policy areas. Just recently, we've launched a partnership with them to connect our students and these LBJ global policy students for a semester in Washington. So it's called a foreign policy semester, foreign policy spring semester in D.C. And so this is a great opportunity for students to get to D.C. if they are interested in pursuing the policy route and becoming more familiar with Washington-centered institutions.
Man, I think I picked the wrong major. I'm coming back.
Giving you the hard sell just a bit too late, Ashley.
Yeah. I know, just a smidge too late. But, well, I think we would be doing our listeners an injustice if we didn't cover your study abroad time. So let's hear about your study abroad.
Okay, I know I might sound like a broken record, but it was awesome, as were a lot of my experiences with IRG. So what I did was the Summer in Paris program with Dr. Anderson and Dr. Holmsted. It was a faculty-led trip to Paris. I believe it was 6 weeks in the heart of the fifth, I don't even remember the French word, arrondissement or something.
Oh, well, right? Done.
Thank you. Thank you. I learned zero French there, but I learned so much about international organizations and the foundations for IRG course. So I took two courses there. Wake up at like 8 in the morning, you drag yourself downstairs, and you sit in this classroom with Dr. Anderson and the rest of your study abroad classmates. You learn a little bit until lunchtime, then everyone's released, and we go and we buy wonderful sandwiches and pastries, and then spend the rest of the day either doing your own plans, which was awesome. There's just so many opportunities. It was Paris, you know, you can do anything in Paris. Or we had these planned trips for us with the program that we were partnered with in Paris. We went to all these wonderful museums. We went to Versailles. We went to some, of course, international organizations. And then we had the weekends to ourselves, of course. So me and my classmates would take these trips. I personally went to London and I went to Belgium. Those are the two trips that I did. I had friends that went to the Netherlands, friends that went to Hungary. It was really wonderful because you're so well situated in Europe that you can just take advantage of your time to go elsewhere, see other places. It was the perfect dip into France for someone who speaks zero French, is not studying European relations or studies in any means. I felt like I was able to experience a elongated vacation / study abroad. So I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah, just to follow on with that, Dr. Holmsted and I think about what are the outings that would best enhance the discussions we're having in class about international affairs, and to visit organizations, think tanks, and intergovernmental organizations dealing with these issues is very useful. But I also found that it seemed like maybe just as useful or meaningful for the students were maybe some of the discussions that they were having in the evening with some of the other students they were living with in this international dorm, and these encounters they might have just out and about in the streets. And French people have strong opinions, and they often talk about American foreign policy and the world around them. So every morning I would ask students, what kind of conversations did you have last night? And there was always something interesting about, well, there was a perspective shared on issues that you wouldn't have gotten just from conversations with friends here in Austin. I don't know if you have any examples of that.
Absolutely.
Or any members.
So in my dorm room, it was me and a girl named Olivia, who is one of my best friends in the entire world. But we met in that program by being roommates. It worked out wonderfully. And she's currently my roommate now at UT too. But right next door to us was this Italian guy and another roommate of his. And the Italian guy had very strong opinions. And he introduces us to his friends. There's this French guy named Clément. And Clément had the most stereotypical French policy, like the stuff that you'd read about on the news, you know. And he just, to me, it sounds preposterous. Like, oh, interesting. You support a ban on immigration into France. Interesting. There were certain visa relationships between France and colonized countries, like Algeria, for example. So I would meet a lot of Algerians in France. And he would bring that up in conversation and be like, well, we should actually reduce the amount of visas that we're giving to these countries that were once French colonies, and instead focus on other countries. And I was like, that's a very interesting take. Paris was just a great time. I remember it to this day. There was a falafel and shawarma shop that was maybe 2 minutes away from where we were staying. And we discover it maybe like our first or second week in, and that just became our go-to lunch spot because I couldn't speak French, but these guys, they couldn't speak English, I couldn't speak French, but we both spoke Arabic. So that's why we would go in there and order and talk a little bit. And Paris is a really interesting place because so many countries have ties to Paris. You know, obviously the colonized countries, but also people coming to Paris because they're seeking a better life. And that was these Lebanese guys who spoke French very well and wanted to set up shop and start a new life here in France.
And you've briefly touched on it. I know that a lot of the other episodes that I've recorded, they touch on it, but it really seems like the staff are what makes these programs. Would you like to talk about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I meet a lot of professors. Not only am I a student, but I also work at the front desk in the government department. So professors coming in, coming out all the time. My top professors at UT have been my IRG professors. Dr. Anderson, Dr. Mosser, and Dr. Holmeson specifically, because I've taken classes with them. But shout out Dr. Liu, because I've also met her. She's wonderful. They have so much care for you as an individual. And I know this is something that people hear all the time, like, oh yeah, you know, go to this school, like these professors, they care for their students. No, like these IRG professors probably know more about me than my cousins and my uncles and my aunts and my grandma. Like, they know me. These professors truly care about their students. They provide them with opportunities. They write you rec letters for law school or are your thesis advisor like Dr. Anderson. Like when Dr. Holmeson asks me, how am I? She truly wants to know how I'm doing, and she'll pause her day to truly listen to how I'm doing. And that's wonderful. You can't buy that kind of attention from your professors at any kind of institution. And I'm so fortunate to have received that here at UT.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was a transfer student. So I moved to Austin December of 2019. And my very first semester started January 2020, before the whole world COVID ended. And I will definitely say it might not have been the IRG program, but it's my professors that really got me through COVID. They were my daily connections, and it was over Zoom. We weren't obviously in a classroom. I think I can count on one hand the number of times I stepped foot on campus during my time here at UT. But the professors care so much about their students. I feel like COVID was incredibly taxing on everybody. Yeah. But the professors went that extra mile to make sure that not only our educational needs were being met, but our personal needs as well. So I completely agree with you, Josiane. You're not going to find a professor that cares more anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And because I know prospective students are listening to this, you may not know it now, but it makes so much difference when your professor cares about you and about the subject, when your professor doesn't care, or may not necessarily be as attentive to the students or to the subject matter or whatever it is. But when you have that special combination of passion for the subject, for what they're teaching, but also interest in the students and what they have to say, that's when you have something magical in the class. That's when the laptop shut down, people stop messing around online and start paying attention and they engage. And I really feel like all of the IRG classes I've taken have been that special kind of class. So.
Well, that's very kind of you. I'm glad that this is not video, so that you won't see me getting very red in the face and embarrassed by these compliments.
All right. And wrapping up, I would just like y'all to take just a moment to reflect on your time here at UT. Take a moment to gather your thoughts. And then I would like to hear your most cherished moment here at the university.
Certainly one of my fondest memories of my time at UT and specifically within the IRG program, and this also relates to your question about how IRG students are not only learning things, but also maybe gaining an awareness of how they might change the world. It was about 10 years ago, so fairly early on in the program. It was in 2014. The Millennium Development Goals started in 2000, and they were due to run out in 2015. And so the United Nations was looking to create the successor to the Millennium Development Goals, what we now know as the Sustainable Development Goals. And so in 2014, the UN wanted to open up the conversation around what should the Sustainable Development Goals be. And they chose a number of cities around the world to be the hubs where these conversations could take place, where the public could actually give feedback. You know, what should the priorities be for the UN in the coming 15 years? So Austin was selected as one of those cities. And in 2014, I got a call, an unexpected call from the United Nations of Austin. And they said, we are having this roundtable, but we don't know if anyone's going to come. We're trying to get the word out. Could you come? And more important, could you bring some students? I said, absolutely. And so we showed up at a conference room, and lo and behold, and we were broken out into smaller round tables. And my students, the students I brought with me, undergrads, almost inevitably, they became the chairs of those tables because the older people there said, this is about the next 15 years or this is about the future. You should be the ones corralling and coordinating these conversations. And so my students chaired these roundtable discussions and the materials and ideas that they collected about what the goals should be. Those conversations were put together. They were sent up to New York and they were a part of the ultimate deliberations that went into the global goals, the sustainable development goals that we know of today. This was an incredible moment to show students that even as undergrads, even here in Austin, they were taking part in conversations that serve as some of the guideposts for some of the biggest questions that we're all facing today.
Man, and what a hell of a thing to put on a resume. I mean, goodness.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it really wasn't until later that I realized, you know, just how special of a moment that was.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And Josiane, I don't know, can you even top this?
I remember there was this outing that we did to an institution. Maybe you can remember the name of it, but I swear to God, me and Olivia talked about this yesterday. We talked about it yesterday because I made a LinkedIn connection with the guy that was there. It was an institution. It wasn't the Jacques Delors Institution. It was the one where we were talking about how you had to pay membership to be a part of the group in order to be a part of the institution. You had to fulfill certain requirements. That's such broad descriptors.
There was the OECD.
That's what it was.
There's OECD. Okay.
OECD.
Yeah. So that was with Dr. Holmston. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was with Dr. Holmston. Because I remember this. The presenter that was talking to us, I think he was like the American ambassador or something. He was a very important guy. And we got to meet some really big wigs in this program. It was really incredible. But he was saying some things, and then he said something about why the United States wasn't a part of the OECD, and it was just very interesting. So raised my hand. As you can tell, I love to talk. So I asked him a couple of questions. We have a little bit of a back and forth. And one of my classmates was like, whoa, like, that you're getting a little bit too much. Like, you know, like, you can't push him like this. We're in a public setting and it's a meeting. And I was like, no, what he said didn't make sense. And he's the expert. So I'm just going to push back a little bit. I remember we're exiting the building And Dr. Holmeson calls me back. She's like, Justine, can I talk to you for a second? And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get the scolding of a lifetime. I just embarrassed the program. They're going to send me to Texas. Like, I can't. I'm out of Paris. I'm done. I'm packing my bags. But Dr. Holmeson was like, that was crazy, wasn't it? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And she was like, I agreed with your perspective. Like, you know, what you said, I also flagged what he said. And then we started chatting and debating about it. And some of my classmates hung back when they realized I wasn't in trouble. And, you know, they joined in the debate. And I remember we were just walking out of the OECD and we're walking on the street past all these embassies, seeing all these different flags, just, you know, hanging and debating about politics and policies and things like that. And I think that was one of my most cherishable moments from my time in UT, just that debate with Dr. Holmeson and my classmates walking the street and just experiencing study abroad like that. You know, it was really cool.
So. Oh, my goodness. I wish this was also video recorded so everybody can just see the passion that you have for this major. And, you know, and you say you love to talk, but you just get me jazzed up talking about this program. I love the enthusiasm and the passion. Fantastic. Well, I would just like to thank you both for joining me, and thank you for sort of putting IRG out there. Yeah, hook 'em.